holding down the Sephora Maisa from Nachman's stories, of the story of the Chacham and the Tam, the sophisticate and the simpleton. Akiva's here, so now we can start. No, not. I'm not. There's no camera, so we're just gonna. So we said that the sophisticate, his minig was he was always happy. He's always very joyous and happy. He was always full of simcha, and we learn from him everyone could always be happy, even though it's hard sometimes, right? It's not so dependent on other things that happen to us. But it's happiness. Gedalia, what's happiness dependent on? Happiness is dependent on emunah. The more faith the person has that everything is good, the more happy a person can have everything possible and still not be happy. Because small little things go wrong, not the way he wanted. Seem like they're going wrong, right? On the other hand, you can have a person who has almost nothing. Like, there's people in this yeshiva, now and not on camera, I'll tell you. Rabbi Yaakov, it's good to be here for a minute. There's people in this yeshiva, they have nothing. They probably have nothing, they have zero money. There's people in this yeshiva, they have no money. They have zero money, probably have debts also. Besides no money, they have like minus. Besides that, they're not so advanced in learning. And they're trying like everyone else. But they're very happy. They're happy. Rabbi Yaakov, you see guys like that? Like, no, the guys are not so advanced in learning, and they have no money. Akiva say, and they're happy. You have to also be happy if you want to say it's a smile. It's a smile, but they're really happy. They're not a stomp, not faking. They're really happy. They're guys. Look around. They're guys. They're really happy because happiness is dependent on outside factors. Because you could have everything outside you need. You can have this. You can have money. You can have success. You have everything. Still be not happy. The wealthiest people are the most stressed out. Still not happy. A guy owns 20 stores, 20 food stores. The other guy he's not so happy. Don't look like he's happy. There's 20 chain of 20 food stores.
More money, more problems.
Michael Jackson and Karen Carpenter.
I'm not sure what they are, but probably it's talking about other people.
Michael Jackson.
What's the Hebrew phrase?
And Karen Carpenter.
So the Hebrew thing is more.
More
property and more sorrow.
Right, my ben. Daga, to worry. The saying, what gives a person the strength to be happy? What's the medicine? A person wants to take a pill that will make him happy, right? Ecstasy. What's the pill that can make a person happy? As I said, done. What's the pill that can make a person happy?
That's what you
said. Well.
Emunah.
The more, okay, it's hard, but it's a work on the level. The more a person has, and we'll make like Emunah parties. The more Emunah a person has, right, that's what here's Emunah party. Mm-hmm. The more Emunah we have, the more happy a person becomes. And therefore, Rav Nachman is specifically telling us the person who had like simply seems like the worst life, the most lacking. He's lacking food. He's lacking, right? He's very, very lacking, this person. He's lacking intelligence, which is a very hard to be lacking intelligence, very hard to get on in life. He's lacking money, which also can be very difficult. But still, he was very, very happy. Unimaginable simcha. The simcha he had was huge. It's like we say, his minig was he was always happy. But simcha gedola tamid, he was constantly happy. Right? The tavka, the tam, was so lacking. And every person has to realize, if this person, the simpleton, could be happy, I could also be happy. That's what Nach was teaching us. If he could be happy, I could be happy. Because we don't have as much lackings as him. Hopefully. Right? Most of us, different situations, we're not lacking anything. We don't share one coat with our wife. Right? But he was happy. Fine, so he shares one coat with his wife. With Gedalia, you know, Adam Arishon, he shared the same coat with his wife. You know that? Chaim Kanievsky says, Adam Arishon shared the same coat as his with his wife. And one cloak was a man, it was both, it wasn't man's or woman's. It was a leather skin, it wasn't made for fancy. They shared.
Other coats are for women.
Hashem made a leather coat for both. He made a skin. Hashem made it. It was a coat from Gan Eden. It wasn't leather. Coat from Gan Eden. One size fits all. Right? And that was the coat. That was the coat Yaakov Avinu gave to Yisfatzadeh. And everybody was always fighting for it. Nimrod killed somebody for it. They were always fighting over this coat. It could be kind and helpful. Also, a lot of fights were on this coat.
So if I get this coat, I'll shoot
it. No. Things being saved. Think about Yaakov Avinu. Think about Yaakov Avinu. Right? So basically, happiness is not dependent on our situation. Happiness is dependent on how much we believe in Hashem. Right? And how much we're going to focus on Hashem. Because how do you be happy? A person wants to be happy. I thought about this. I want to be happy. What could help me be happy? So it's true, learning Torah makes us happy. Doing mitzvahs. We could do these things and still not be happy. We're still not happy. Why? Because we always look at what's lacking. The Sahara is always working on this job to look at what we don't have. And I doubted him, but I didn't doubt him in concentration. I finally learned something, but I didn't learn well enough. But I stopped. He's always going to come with reasons why we shouldn't be happy. But we have to realize that Hashem is always with me in every situation. And it says, who is the rich man? Ezehu Asher Hasameach Lachakor. Who is the rich man? One who's happy with his lot, right? So Rabbi Asher would say, it doesn't say he was happy with part of his lot. It doesn't say Chelik Mechalkor. He doesn't even happy with your whole lot. Your whole lot means your whole package. Right? My whole package includes the cons and the pros. Includes everything. Right? That's my package. What's my package? Just being happy with the good I have, that's not just being happy with your lot. Your lot is your entire lot, your whole lot. That's what it means. That, what's my lot? My lot, I'm happy with exactly my portion Hashem gave me, because that's exactly what I need for my tikkun. Hashem knows for my neshama, that's what I need for my tikkun. And even all my struggles, and all my ups and downs, and my confusions, that's all my lot. We all have our confusions, we get crazy, I'm confused, and we don't have clarity. That's all part of my lot. That's what Hashem wants for me. If I keep on trying to serve Hashem with the whole package you gave me, then I'll reach my mission in this world. You have to realize that this, everything is from Hashem. Everything is divine providence, right? Not only all the good that happens to us, also, if you remember, also what looks negative to us is also divine providence, right? People always write books and stories that, well, it's divine providence, and look, in the end, everything worked out perfect, right? And that's very nice to show that Hashem, it helps us get chizuk. But the real belief in Hashgacha Pratis, what we don't understand, we believe, right, that's where Nachman says, where my understanding ends, that's where Emunah begins. Got that? It's one for your book. Got to write that down in your book. Where my understanding ends, that's where Emunah begins. Got that, Akiva?
Yeah. Your what ends?
Where my understanding ends, that's where my Emunah begins. Now, I understand why this happened and that happened and that. Fine, so that's not Emunah in Hashgacha.
That's what you don't understand.
Emunah is believing. You have to believe in it. Right? If this, you see this in front of you, you don't have to believe that this is a cup. You see it. What I see, you don't have to believe, you see it. So, we see Hashem, and the level higher than what I could see, that's the moon. Now, I gotta climb levels. I'm gonna get to the next level. Now, I strengthen myself in the moon and faith. And now I see Hashem on level 3. So now for me, level 3 became clarity. For me, working on the moon is going to level 4. Then you get to level 4. Then Hashem is clear to me, Hashem is in charge. Now, for me, working on Emunah is getting to level 5.
Right.
Having faith in Hashem is always believing in Hashem, He's doing the best, even though I don't see it. That's Emunah, that's faith. When I see it, it's clear to me, fine, I believe Hashem is doing it. It's very good, it's one level. But that's not the real Emunah. Is faith is where I don't understand. Going to the next level. Taking it to the next level. But when a person realizes Hashem has exact divine providence, not some, oh, yeah, it's divine providence in general. Exactly every single thing that happens to me in my life, every iota, that's a good word, that happens to me, every single thing is Hashem. Every time I have a thought and He starts even confusing me in my thoughts, and I'm having a hard time in my thoughts, and I thought of who this and this, that's also Hashem. That's also to make me grow. Every time I stumble, even in spirituality, it's also Hashem. It's all to help me. It's all going to work out. In the end, just keep on going, keep on dying, keep on trying. In the end, if we keep on trying, and we don't give up, then we'll succeed. The Zahara wants to make us feel, oh, you're a failure, so we stop trying. Really, we have to realize everything that Shkachah brought, even if we do Averis, even if we messed up, it's also from Hashem, right? Which means, Nassim teaches us a very good rule. Okay, we got to hear this rule. That really, we know that Hashem knows everything we're going to do. Right? And also, we have free choice. Right? How they go together, we don't understand. Because if we would understand, we would have no free choice. That's what Nassim said. If we would understand how it works, we would not have no more free choice.
Right, because we don't have free choice.
If we understand
that we don't have free choice, because He already knows. It's already decided. They already know. They already exist. What you can do.
Oh, so why is it we don't know the answer to the
question? Your action is already foreseen.
But so we don't know the answer. We don't know how it works. In the next world, there was once a story that someone had a dream and he asked this question to his friend, Big Sally. He asked his friend, tell him, when you get to Shemayim, whoever dies first will come back and tell the other one how it works. Right? Is there free choice? Hashem doesn't. the end, one of the friends died. He goes to Shemaiah, comes back, he tells them, I can't tell you how it works. But I can tell you one thing. Once you get up here, I have no more questions. He said, I don't have a question anymore. The guy said, what happened to my question? No, our question, he said, I'm not going to tell you it works, but I'll tell you one thing, there's no question. Once you get to Shemaiah, you see there's no question. Your question, it wasn't a question. He said, what's the answer? There's no question. We have no more questions. Once you get clarity, the next rule, see, there's no more questions.
This is some random guy's dream.
No, it was, I forgot who it was. It was people. I remember many times told us the names. It was big people. Imagine it was a lonely guy's wife. That's a different story.
Like a phone number or something also?
What phone's that? That's true. Whatever. That. But basically, what Rav Nasan guy says, so we're not allowed to live with the fact, right? You can't just say, what are the criteria of the people denying Hashem? They just say, Hashem knows what I'm going to do anyway because I can do what I want. So I can just do what I want, right? Because Hashem knows anyway. That's kafir, right? But Rav Nasan says, we're allowed to use the fact that Hashem knows what we're talking about after the fact. Meaning someone stumbled, they fell into Avir. They fell into Avir. So then, a person, they want to do tshuva, they can't get at it. They can't get at it. They're in a ditch. I can't believe I did this Avir. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't get at it. Right? They're stuck. They're stuck in a ditch. Right? So then everyone else says, you have a license, you're allowed to remember, you're allowed to use in your Avedas Hashem the fact and remember that there is also Yediyah. Hashem knew what was going to happen. Usually in our Avedas Hashem, we're not going to go, if we can't serve Hashem with that, going with that side of the fence. Even though it's true, we can't just say everything, Hashem knows what I'm going to do, I can do whatever I want because Hashem knows anyways. However, we have a license after it happens, after the fact, and of course we have to do tshuva, we still have to do tshuva on it, because I have to do tshuva on it. But Hashem wanted this to happen. Could be Hashem wanted this to happen because He wants me to go down so I could come up. Most of the time it's just to make me humble so I shouldn't have gaiva, which most of the time is the answer. If I wouldn't have gaiva, Hashem wouldn't have to make me fool, even spiritually. Hashem would rather be fool spiritually than to have arrogance. He can't stand arrogance. Chazal says, Hashem says, me and the guy who's arrogant can't stand in the one world together. It's a scary chazal, which means Hashem removes His divine providence from that person who is arrogant. So a lot of the time, a person who is arrogant, Hashem makes them fall into Averis just so they're not arrogant. Hashem says, I would rather you do Averis than go get handed to do Tshuva. Just don't be arrogant. The same story from the Yisrael meet Karis. Karis? Maybe Karis? I think it's Shavu Karis. This is Rabbi Arish writes in a story. It's not like a guy told Kevin, I did a very bad Avera. So he was very upset. He told him, you know something? British Shalom, Rabbi Arish writes a story. He says, you know something? You don't have to do Tshuva. It was good for you because you felt so you shouldn't be arrogant. Hashem knew. But Moshe, Hashem didn't meet you for a purpose, so you shouldn't be arrogant. So, after the fact, you have to realize, you can't keep beating yourself up. How did I do it? I can't believe it. I can't believe how I did such a thing. There is also an aspect that Hashem wanted it to happen. I still have to repent, but Hashem wanted it to happen. And this is Hashem's will. It's the will of Hashem sometimes to fall. Even a very bad Avera, sometimes Hashem wanted us to fall. And before we do the Avera, without this, Hashem wants. But Hashem gave me free choice. Hashem wants me to choose the best I can. But after the fact, Rabbi Nelson says, we have a license to put the lenses on Yediyah that Hashem knew what was going to happen. Temporarily, you could put on those glasses and say, Hashem wants it to happen. It doesn't mean you don't have to do tshuva, but it means it could help me understand and get out of my hole. Which it's a very delicate topic. Rav Nasan writes pages and pages until he gets to this point. He doesn't say it in one line. He speaks about pages and pages because it's a very scary, very, very delicate topic. And people outside wrestling don't like it so much. They're not excited about it. It's too bad. But we have to use it. It's a very, very delicate tool. But we use it in the right way, like everything else. We're doing surgery and we're stuck. We need to do a surgery on ourselves. Okay, Tzahar is making us down. He says, I can't believe you did that there. I can't believe I'm nothing. There is a certain time to use this special tool, surgery, and say, you know what? Hashem wanted it to happen. Now go to the field. Why does Hashem want this to happen to me? Not because I was doing good things, probably because they're trying to give me a wake-up call. Most of the time, because I was being arrogant. Hashem would rather me not do Averis and not be arrogant. Even though it's terrible, Hashem doesn't want me to do sin. Hashem knows it's better for me to sin than to be arrogant. Or something that Hashem wants me to go down to come up. Read the Tzarech Aliyah, right? Rav Nasan said, it's not that you need to go down, you need to go down in order to come up. He said, the purpose of going down is to come up. A lot of people say, your Rida going down is for the purpose of going. You have to go down for the need to go up. Rav Nasan says much stronger. He says that you go down, the purpose of going down is to go up. Maybe there's a purpose about it and you have to have it. That's not just you need to go down to go up. It says, you read the topless aliyah. The purpose of your whole purpose of you going down, and you need to go down in order to come up. Got there, Rabbi Yaakov?
This is the whole thing. It says, you read the topless
So he says Aliyah Tachlis to read it. The reason why you go up also is to go down.
It's something also. Also, you read the Tachlis Aliyah. But Aliyah.
This is Aliyah Tachlis to read it. That you go up. You go up. When you go up, you so that you can come to the crystal. When you come down, you can bring it back into the level. You can,
so there's also an aspect, yeah, but it's something like that. We never go the other way, though. We're going the down is to go up. I don't want to break
that. That's not what I'm not going to finish. That's like, much like the Balshim tools say that.
No, because they say you read the Tzarech Aliyah. The Rav was at Tachlis.
What's the Chiddush so much?
They say.
The bigger Chiddush is the other way, that the
Tachlis. The Chiddush is the other way, so fine. So. He's listening.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that Hashem would rather a person. So Reb Nosson said, "You have Reb Nosson's chiddush." We're saying lamedus now. We're not saying that Reb Nosson said, even though we're not allowed to live our life, that Yidi Hashem knows what I'm going to do. We have to live our life to have free choice. Our way to Hashem, Reb Yaakov, you got that? Our way to Hashem is important way to understand Reb Nosson. You're going to miss it. It's important that to understand. We learned 2 minutes less tonight. It's important to understand that we're not going to live our life with Yediyah. Hashem knows what's going to happen. Therefore, I can do what I want. We have to live our life with Bechir. No, I have free choice. I have to try to make the best choice, right? For us, after the fact, let's say I already did out here, and I'm down, I can't get out of it. We have a Heter, he's giving a Heter, that you're allowed to focus on the fact that there is Yediyah, that Hashem knew what was going to happen. There's not an excuse not to do tshuva. They still have to do tshuva. But it's to remember so at least I can get out of my small mindedness that I'm so dumb, I can't believe I did it, I have free choice, it's me, it's all me, and beat yourself up. You're allowed to get out of that ditch. You're allowed to put the lenses on temporarily, say, you know, Hashem knew it was going to happen, it had to happen, it was good for me. Now go to the field and say, why did it happen? Why did it went down? For a reason. But it's very important you say that Reb Nosson teaches us that we need this tool sometimes, but when you need it, you should use this. It's a dangerous tool, you have to be careful.
No.
Some other people, but they're very. Reb Nosson brings it out, and he presses us into it, and he writes it. But even when.
Some people are. There's a big machlokes against Meshlach.
This is one of the reasons.
They don't
I don't know if they don't chop it. I'm saying Reb Nosson explains it at length, this fact. Nachon, our people are very upset. Even Reb Nosson, the people. Even Reb Arar, just for whatever. He wrote it in one of his farm, and people told him if he writes it again, they're going to put signs up about it. Only in one of his books he wrote it. I forgot which one of the books, and the people from the literature world, they wrote this thing for Reb Nosson. And they didn't like, they weren't going against Reb Nosson. They didn't like that the way he wrote it was very, he writes just like flowing out of his heart. So he wrote
it. It takes out of your Bechira almost? Like
it's a very dangerous thing. It's very dangerous because that's Kfira. The whole thing of Kfira is, a lot of the Kuiper just says, I don't know it anyway, I can do what I want. That is Kfira, meaning. Mm-hmm. So a lot, they didn't, actually, he was writing for himself. He wrote it like once. Reb Nosson, he writes it pages and pages until he gets this point that they didn't write it in one line. So I was like, wrote it like in one of the books, like in
so
one
like
line.
And in the bathroom because they hold it like Mamish,
that's not extreme people. But even in the literature world, some people, they read Reb Arash's book, but they saw that, like they got very, whatever, they told him, like, if you do it again, I'm going to put up signs against you, no one's allowed to read your book, and put you in chair, and they got very upset. But
what line? What did he write?
He wrote this, Nikud for Reb Nosson, that after the fact you do Avero, and you can't get out of it, you're allowed to, in a certain lens, you're allowed to look at it from an angle that, say, Hashem wanted it to happen. Right? I still have to do tshuva. Hashem wants there is an aspect of a letter. Remember,
change your book or it's still there.
No, take it out of the book. Don't do it again. I don't know if he has to listen to them, but he can do what he wants. But people from the outside, from
enough. Who has to say? The person can write
that. Yeah, if I could put up signs, you could put up signs about me. You could put up signs. Of course, you could put up signs. Just the point is that it's a very delicate. It has to be written in the right way, not taken the wrong way. Because a person could chashon go to clear from it. If it's not written in the right way, be very careful that to write it in the right context and understand it in the right context. And even then, you have to reiterate, you still have to do Reb Nosson writes, you still have to do tshuva. And there's an aspect that you're allowed to focus on. You're allowed to have to focus on that aspect that was the idea that Hashem wanted it to happen.
So it's better to write one line or better to write pages on it?
Yes.
It's better to write pages on it, but Reb Arash, through his heart, he's just writing as a side point.
Because
it's so Pasha.
It was,
they didn't like it. No, they didn't. I don't know. But definitely the way it was written, they weren't happy about. Which I understand. If you're not coming from Nelson, coming from where ours is coming from, I understand. I'm not saying they're right, but I understand that where they're coming from. They could be very. It's at a certain lens, at a certain point, you're allowed to use this. What's it? Any books? He wrote it more than once. I saw he wrote it again. I don't think he cared so much. But. He doesn't care. He's used to it for Reb Nosson. That's why he writes it alone. Also, he's so used to it. It's already like a thing that comes. He says after, before it, you have to have bechira after the fact. It's from Hashem.
There's no way to understand tshuva without that kind of dust.
They knew when they told him not to write it again, they knew he's going to write it again.
That wasn't the point. Fine. That
was. Two was like as possible.
What?
Well, two was like a big, that's where they're coming from. Like, how can you do tshuva? If you hold by that,
they're going there. If you're going to say it was Hashem, then I don't have to do tshuva either. That's the scared of. And then also for the future, I'm going to use that in the future. They're afraid of it.
Maybe it's for something you can't do tshuva on.
You can do tshuva on everything.
Nachum says you can do tshuva on everything. Even though the Zohar says, a Zohar Averis, they might not be able to be tshuva.
It's easy to bear to a person, that person isn't around anymore.
Still way to do tshuva. Still do tshuva. You can go to his cave, ask Hashem, Renasin ask the tefillah, the kutei tefillahs, help me make it that I should meet that person, meet someone from that person, and they should be meichel me. They could forgive you. However it works. You can down with Hashem, they should forgive me. You can go to his cave with a minion. If you know who it was, you go to cave with his minion and ask mechila. It's for Shulchan Aruch.
His minion?
Bring a minion and ask forgiveness by his cave. That also, usually they'll say yes, if he's already dead. Hopefully they'll forgive you. But even though the Zohar says there are certain areas you can't do tshuva, Nachman says that you could do, a lot of the also the Sfarim say you could do tshuva on every aver. I said the Zohar that you can't do, he says, to the pshat that I understand, I can't explain to you why the Zohar said you can't do tshuva. Really, you could
do
tshuva.
You just
Nachman says,
oh,
Nachman. That I really understand. So some people say pshat is, that even though the Zohar said you couldn't do tshuva, what does that mean? That means if you're not working with the Kerech and the Tzadik, once you work with a tzaddik fending for you, then you could do tshuva. He could fend you and help you do tshuva even on this also. He could help you do the tshuva. That's some people say pshat in that.
Which are there the ones that
they're
saying that you
can't do tshuva? Oh, they have kama brist. Said you can't do tshuva. That's the Zari said. It's the Zari said you can't do tshuva.
Do what?
For people who waste seed. The Zari says there's no tshuva.
It's like with the also.
Rather, there is tshuva. Rather, we know there is tshuva.
Is there anything outside that considered?
I don't think so. Although, that's tshuva. You can't do tshuva shleim, it sounds like. You can't do complete tshuva. But Nachman says, you don't know the pshat, that I know the pshat, that it is, even on this, it's possible to do tshuva shleim. So they say the pshat is because he's going to try to help us. Some people, he didn't write that pshat. Some people say that through the Kerech of the Tzadik.
That's what he feels every Neshama that could have been created
from that. It's Neshama Chila. Nachman, they are.
Same good.
Yeah, sorry, the what?
The hidden message was, do tshuva with an elephant expecting to be rejected, but not get anything for it. If you do it that way, you'll be accepted.
Right.
The single person who does this, he does, he's trashed.
Right.
Or he's going to try to fix that anyhow. Then we'll start opening the door.
Yeah, so if you try anyway, even though we tell you, say that's John Desire, even though we told you you can't do it, you still try, and then we're going to help you. Yeah. Fine, but anyway, with that, we said, where would that come? So we're saying that everybody has to be happy with their whole lot, their ups, their downs, even if it's a very big down. Go to the field, say, Hashem, I have to do tshuva, but if I fell, it was to help me not be arrogant, it was to help me come better and stronger. But my portion is my whole portion, including everything that happens, all my ups and downs. I'm happy, Hashem. This is what you can find. So you're giving me sincereness, you're giving me ups, even if I have downs. Thank you. It must be for the best thing for me. Maybe it's to make me stronger. Maybe this is just my tikkun to struggle with the Sahara and just and even fall. I feel like I'm falling and keep on trying. Maybe that's my vital, but our job is to try to be happy and realize that everything is exactly as Shkacha Pratza. This is the aspect of Elam Haba. That everything is good with him. This is the time he was always, always happy because he held that Hashem says everything. Shkaya.
Is this every day?